This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Steve Kerr in an hour. You said earlier on the crossover you have no worries.
Yeah, no worries.
None?
Well, I mean, injury always, yeah, sure.
Okay.
But beyond that, which you can say that about any team, any sport, any time, beyond that, I don't know what I'm supposed to worry about. The Jimmy fit has been a 13 out of 10. He's unlocked Draymond. He's made Steph even better than what he was before. All the role guys seem to be rolling it up. The only thing that I could possibly think about would be Jonathan Kuminga, and will he fit? But then I think about that, and I think if it is clear that he's having a hard time getting fit and also fitting in, I think that they will limit him. I don't think that they're just going to play him 30 minutes and say, well, you know, we've lost four or five, but darn it, we're going to figure this thing out.
No, that leads to a different worry, though, which is then Jonathan himself. Jonathan, okay, the player, Jonathan, the negotiating, Jonathan, the playoff performer, all of that. And yeah, I'm not trying to like force worry on anyone, but I like here's the question, and we'd love your calls on this. And Steve Kerr in an hour, 888-957-9570. This has gone so well that what's still missing, if anything, or what concerns do you have? And the only thing, we were talking about this earlier, the only thing that kind of pops to my mind is too much optimism. And here's what I mean by that, yeah, because I actually don't believe in the idea of too much optimism.
Right.
I think that that's a wonderful thing to have in life. Have as much of it as you can possibly take. Eat it like a bowl of cereal over the sink late at night, like just heaping amounts of optimism. But somewhere in my mind right now, I blend it with also like forgetfulness, which is that the Warriors have won so many games and they've flown into the sixth seed, which 2 weeks ago we were like, I wonder if they could get to the sixth seed.
Right.
And then they're the sixth seed. And the second they got to the sixth seed, we acted like there was a brick wall behind the Warriors, meaning that once they got to the sixth seed, they're not allowed to go backwards anymore. But they are. And I think the play-in tournament, based on what has happened with this team now, you know, if you had said to me 3 weeks ago, how about the seventh seed? I'd be like, I'll take it.
Yep.
Give it to me. But not now, for multiple reasons. One, it's frightening, and it hasn't gone well for the Warriors in the past. But two, if these old dudes are going to hit the gas this hard, and there are a lot of games still to go, 17 more games to go. And if they're going to hold the pedal to the metal this hard, to where they're like, we have to win every game, every night, back-to-backs, doesn't matter, we're doing it. If they're going to do this hard for this long, then they're going to need a week off when the regular season ends. They have got to have a week off when the regular season ends. That means no play-in tournament. Minnesota has also won five in a row. They're a half game behind you.
Yeah.
There is some sort of mental discord right now with Warrior fans where we're like, well, we're at least the six.
Right, right.
You could lose Thursday night and be the seven that quickly. And so that's my thing. And I think it's mostly among the fans, maybe not the players. But you got old dudes that need to play so hard every single night the rest of the way to keep their positioning or try to move up. And that's going to be really, really hard. There's no rest for the weary right now.
No rest, and you make a great point because your last game of the year is Sunday, April 13th against the Clippers, and let's just pretend that you need that to get the six. Well, then the playoffs actually start on Saturday. There are four games Saturday and four games Sunday. Knowing what you and I know about the NBA, the TV package, and the way they do this, the Warriors, no matter who they're going to play, are going to be in that Sunday marquee spot, 12:30 matinee, on the road at fill in the blank. Or at the very least, they're going to play Sunday in the later game, and the Lakers would be in that marquee spot. I don't think that the Warriors would play on the Saturday, and even if they did, that would still be 6 days off, to your point.
Yep.
About they need a week off. And I think that you're right, and that's why I was saying before, like, could they possibly clinch early and get 9 days off? And like, if you were locked in on the six and you didn't have to play the last two games and you had, I don't know, 11 days off, I don't think these guys would get rusty, and it might be a nice little break that is going to help them get to where they need to be.
Sorry, my face just did a little thing.
No, and I had to follow to see what you're doing.
DeAndre Hopkins just signed with the Ravens. 1 year, $6 million. That's kind of the type of guy.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about him. I don't know what he's got left. That was kind of a weird deal there. He did some good things with the Chiefs, and he'd disappear for a game, then he'd come back and have eight catches, and then he'd have one. I'm not kind of sure really what DeAndre Hopkins has got left, but that's the kind of receiver I do expect the 49ers to get involved in at some point, but not him. He'll be playing for the Baltimore Ravens next year, as you were.
Yeah, no, and that's where I was talking about your point about this older group needing a week off. So it is tantamount to avoid the play-in, because if you're in the play-in, even if you're in the 7 seed, then you don't have to play in that 9-10 game. You do have to play the 7-8 game, and if you win, you're in, and if you lose the 7-8, now you have one more game to play and even make it in, and then you're the 8, and then you have to play OKC, and then you don't have a rest against a younger team.
Right,
so,
right.
And when you start to stack the positives and the negatives, getting the 6 seed is everything. No play-in, rest, and the 3 seed looks like it might be the softest of the landing spots.
Well, I mean, no, but it could be the Lakers.
It could be. Actually, I guess the 4 or 5 would be better.
Yeah, I would love to get to the 5. It's getting hard because Houston's winning games again. Yeah, Grandy, what do you got on this?
Well, you're talking about how much optimism there is, Warrior fans feeling like, well, we're the 6 now. This is the worst that we're going to be. I sent out a tweet, and I'm always very careful to equate what happens on social media with reality.
Sure.
But I sent out a tweet on Friday night saying, and I'll just read it to you, bad night in the West for the Warriors because the Grizzlies, Timberwolves, Clippers, and Kings all won. The Grizzlies, of course, ahead of the Warriors, but the T-Wolves, Clippers, and Kings are all chasing the Warriors. And I got countless responses from Warrior fans saying, what do you mean, bad night? We're better than all those teams. We're just going to keep winning all of our games. We don't have to worry about anybody else. People telling me a team that was a half game behind the Warriors winning was not a bad thing.
This is what I'm saying.
Makes no sense to me.
This is what I'm
it's
saying.
It's the hubris of the fans.
Right. It really
like,
is.
You know, like, I don't give a crap about anybody.
Well, can I ask, like, this is a stupid question. Do y'all think they're just going to win every night for the rest of the year?
Yes, Mark.
Like, is that the way you think this is going to go? The Warriors are going to end the season with a 22-game winning streak?
Is this the way it has gone?
I know, but that's my point when I say too much optimism. We're peacocking a little too much right now. A little bit. For me.
Oh, for sure.
For my taste. Like, check it. They beat Detroit the other night. That was big. It was also really tight. Like, Draymond damn Green hit a three-pointer, and if he doesn't hit it, they're probably not going to win that basketball
game. There's 10 lead changes in the fourth quarter.
So that could have gone either way, and that's the level. When you want to look right now at net rating in the NBA, since the trade deadline, both the Warriors and Pistons are both in the top 5. So that's a good measuring stick of top of the league right now, and they won it, so that's wonderful. But is that really, is that what we're doing? So Jonathan Kuminga comes back Thursday, and y'all believe that the rest of the homestand is going to go Sacramento, New York, Denver, Milwaukee on a back-to-back, followed by Toronto. No problem. We got this 5-0.
I'm 4-1.
Maybe.
Denver might get you, but none of the rest of those bums can touch us right now. And I say us because, yeah, that's how we're feeling.
All right, hit the road to Atlanta. That's kind of a, you got to be careful about games like that. Same thing with Miami a couple of nights later, and that's the Jimmy Butler return game.
I love it.
Okay, that's coming on March 25th. New Orleans, San Antonio, okay. But then it's at Memphis, at the Lakers, home to Denver, home to Houston, at Phoenix. Like, I don't know.
It's a gauntlet right there.
You're going to lose some games, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're probably right.
My prediction.
Yeah.
You're not going to go undefeated the rest of the way. And this happens. Remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago. You get to the end of the year, and the playoff teams start winning a lot more. A lot more at a really high rate. Because why? A, they're playing with urgency, and they're often playing a team that's either tanking or hurt. Right? Go play San Antonio right now. Go play Dallas.
Phoenix.
Go play New Orleans. Yep. They don't give a rip what happens on the scoreboard in that game. They don't care. So this is going to be hard. And that's my thing. I think we've just forgotten completely about the play-in tournament.
Yeah. And then, I mean, hopefully you get to that stretch that you just laid out, which is Memphis, L.A., Denver, Houston. All four of those teams are currently ahead of you in the Western Conference, and two of those are on the road, and you've got a back-to-back at L.A. and then home to Denver, but you go at Memphis, at L.A., home to Denver, home to Houston, four straight games against four teams that, to your point, are going to be trying, and they're going to be trying to keep you at bay, so... Yes, yeah, stack the wins now, and I heard Buddy Hield say that last night. Keep stacking, keep stacking.
Yep.
That way when you get, you know, you got Sacramento and you got Toronto and you've got New Orleans still left to go. You got another Portland, you got a Phoenix, which, man, have they waved the white flag. So there are games out there that you should be able to stack, but there's also tough opponents that are going to be focused on exactly the same thing that you are.
No doubt. And Minnesota, by the way, the whole thing about the Warriors having the easiest schedule, Minnesota have the second easiest schedule. So they're going to have a lot of bunnies out there too, okay? 888-957-9570. Let's talk Warriors until Steve Kerr gets here. So anything about Jonathan Kuminga's return on Thursday night, which if you're just joining us, that's now all set. Kuminga will be back. How many minutes? We don't know. We'll ask Steve Kerr exactly what his plan is coming up here at 5 o'clock. But also, what worries you, if anything? What are you still looking for from the Warriors who, you know, just win every single night? We'll take your calls. We're sponsored by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Spring into action at Valvoline Instant Oil Change, your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Stay in your car while friendly technicians check oil, batteries, lights, tires, and more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. All vehicle types welcome. This is Willard and Dibs.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dillard and Libs
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, y'all. Steve Kerr in 40 minutes. Steve Kerr in 40 minutes, and Jonathan Kuminga's playing on Thursday night.
That's pretty exciting that he's playing, and that they were able to say it now on Tuesday tells me that
He
was probably close last night. For whatever reason, he wasn't ready to go. Maybe Steve will enlighten us as to exactly what we were waiting for. What was the final hurdle that got us from the thought that maybe he would play mid-road trip to where it's going to be a week and a half later? Like, what have we been waiting for?
Yeah, I don't know. And obviously, now you get a couple more nights off. So, like, to wait till this one allows them to give him a little bit of extra rest. But, yeah, how quickly do they get him in there, ramp him up? How many minutes? I mean, obviously, I mean, Tim Kawakami earlier today on our show said they're going to, quote, slow play it. They're going to slow play it. So I don't know. I mean, I very much doubt Steve tonight on our air is going to give you a minute number, but I'd bet a lot of money it's going to be less than 20 in that game on Thursday night.
Game, you're probably right.
Yeah.
It feels like after 10 weeks, it'll be 3 5-minute stretches where you get him out there for 4 or 5 and let him run around, and then you give him another 4 or 5, and you let him run around, and then you get to the third quarter, and you give him another 5, and let him run up and down, and then you get to the fourth quarter, and you probably play the people who you've been winning with.
Key Santos, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then we'll see also, by the way, like, way the Sacramento Kings have been playing, you might be up by 30 at the start of the fourth quarter. You could also be tied.
Sure.
I don't know. They're a weird team now.
Yeah. Well, especially when they play this team, although it might be different without De'Aaron Fox. Like, it feels like the rivalry's been lessened a little bit, but they
maybe
still have Malik Monk.
Monk is the guy, yeah. And then Sabonis is hurt, and then I would have looked at them on paper and been like, oh, they're going to crater. But they've actually played pretty well. And then at home last night, the Knicks, with no Jalen Brunson, come in and absolutely wiped the floor with them. So, I don't know. I don't know what to expect. That's my way of saying don't bet Kings games.
Yeah, right.
They're totally unpredictable. But this is predictable. Check this out. We've got two things to tell you about that could end up landing really cool things in your pocket. First of all, one of them's coming up here this hour. So, with the Steve Kerr conversation that we're going to have, we are also going to be giving away a $125 gift card to Great Clips. And I can tell you that's going to get you now like at least 6 cuts now, okay?
Yeah.
You get yourself 6 cuts. So $125 gift card to Great Clips. That'll happen both in and right after the Steve Kerr conversation. So be with us at 5 o'clock for that. And then speaking of 5 o'clock, also want to tell you about the best seat in the house package. And that's going to get started this Thursday. but it's in anticipation of next Thursday, day one of the college basketball championship, also known as Dan Dibley's day off.
Mm.
Not Ferris Bueller's day
no,
off.
No.
Dan Dibley's day off. Dan Dibley.
Yeah.
Okay. So this Thursday, be with us in the 5 p.m. hour. Why? Because the best seat in the house package is coming your way. Two people at Splash, the new sports bar at Thrive City, right next to Chase Center. For next Thursday, on the 20th, first day of the college basketball championship, best seat in the house package gives you prime location on the second floor of Splash, overlooking the gigantic video boards, which will be showing the games, obviously. And then there's them eats. You can get two appetizers, four entrees, and a dessert. We've tried some of the food. We love all of it. Keep trying it. You're going to get a bunch of it. All you need to know right now, be with us Thursday in the 5 p.m. hour. Once you do that, we will direct you the rest of the way. All right?
Yeah, pretty simple.
That's
just
coming
stay
up.
Tuned.
Yeah, so stay tuned. There it is. All right. This idea of Jonathan Kuminga's return and sort of like what might still worry you with the Golden State Warriors, I tell you what, I've sort of, I don't want to say become addicted to this, but I've been very wooed by this in ways that I didn't see coming. We've all watched Jimmy Butler play in the NBA for a long time. We know this guy is he's a bona fide one. He's got a nickname called Playoff Jimmy. That's a pretty good nickname to have. But someone texted us a short time ago and goes, this is a small thing, but I'm worried that Jimmy is almost too hesitant to shoot. And I look at a game like last night where a bunch of things happened that people really like in the box score. Start with, for instance, Buddy Hield hitting a bunch of three-point shots.
6 of 9.
Okay. He goes 6 of 9. Warriors are going to win that basketball game. That's almost for sure.
They're undefeated when he scores, I think, 17 points?
Something like that. And last night he had 20. When you get, it's actually kind of a wonder why the Warriors didn't win by 40 last night.
Yeah.
When you look at the box score. If I told you before the game, Buddy Hield's going to hit 6 threes. Gary Payton's going to have his career high. Moses Moody will score 20. Quentin Post will go double dig. And Jimmy Butler will have a triple-double. If I had said all that to you, I'd be like, Warriors minus 25 and
yeah,
a half.
Exactly, 25 is what
don't
I was thinking.
Think?
135, 110.
Man, but this is something you don't see in the NBA anymore. And this is why I don't worry about Jimmy Butler. If he's hesitant to shoot, that's fine. Check this out. How often do you see this, or how many players in the NBA could even do this anymore? He scored a triple-double, okay? 15 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. And in the line in the box score for three-point shots, he went 0 for 0.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Triple-double with no three-point attempts. He is a throwback in ways that I don't think I fully grasped the level of what Jimmy Butler is doing, not just for himself, but for others on a basketball court.
And I do think that it's because of, in part, his basketball IQ, and he knows that the three-point shot is not his bag. So you got a team with Steph Curry on it. Well, you're not going to shoot a lot of threes. And Buddy Hield, a guy who, when hot, can shoot a three. And you mentioned GP2 and a career high. He was GP3 last night. He hit 4 of them. And then you got in Quentin, who had 3 of them. Moses with a couple of them. Draymond Green knocked down his requisite 1 3-pointer per game. So if you're Jimmy, you realize that not only is it not what I'm really good at, but it's also not what this team needs. So I'm not totally surprised that he had that triple-double without attempting a three. And I wouldn't mind if he didn't attempt another three this year, because watching him shoot a three is a little bit painful. It's a little bit painful.
Well, okay. I mean,
his shooting motion is, it's a little bit awkward, and you can tell that he's not feeling it. Usually, when he rises up to shoot a three, it's usually, well, I guess I got to do this.
I mean, he hit his only attempt in Brooklyn. He went 2 of 4 against the Pistons. I realized prior to that, three-point shots as a member of the Warriors were very few and far between. As far as Jimmy Butler was concerned, like, actually, I'm looking at his 3-point log since joining the Warriors.
Yeah, 20%.
Yeah, he hit 1 in Houston, the night before the All-Star break. And then he hit one in Charlotte, that game that was a little wonky and took a while for them to brush Charlotte off. And then that's it. Then the three that he hit that I just referenced, Brooklyn and the Pistons. He's hit a total of five.
Yep.
It's not his comfort zone.
Yep.
I don't know. Like
five for 26.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not his thing.
Yeah.
But when he does it, I do feel like there's discernment. I feel like he's trying to pick his spots.
Absolutely discernment, which is why I give him credit for the basketball IQ. And, you know, Steve Kerr will tell you that a shot created must be taken, and that's true. But if you're Jimmy Butler and you find your way to the three-point line with 9 seconds on the shot clock and you get the ball and it's an open look, I do think that he takes measures to see if he can then attack the basket, penetrate and kick it out to somebody else on the team that might be better at that. And it's not to say he's scared or anything like that, but I do think that he is so smart as a basketball player that if he gets the ball behind the line with 2.8 on the shot clock, he's going to shoot it, and that's just what you do. But beyond that, when he gets it earlier in the clock, he still imagines that what he can do with the basketball with 8 on the clock to get to the basket, get to the foul line, or create for someone else, that's a better shot, ultimately.
Yeah. It's really, the more I think about this, and the two things we kind of came up with earlier, and we'll take your calls right now. What worries do you still have for the Warriors? What are they missing? What scares you the rest of the way? Because I know right now, as a Warrior fan, we've just decided they're going to win all the games. They're going to win every night. This is super easy. So an overconfidence angle, definitely, I feel. But that's more the fans than the players,
exactly.
So I don't know that that's actually a problem. For me, the issue is, and 888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in, the issue is there is still a very high possibility that what happened earlier in the season is going to bite them. That's still a very high possibility, and that could mean a lot of different things. But there were too many losses that they should not have had earlier in the year, and that could bite them in two different ways. One, it leaves them in a spot where they are still vulnerable in the standings as we sit here today. Even with the win streaks, they are still vulnerable in the standings. The other thing that means is that the Warrior stars are just going to have their foot on the gas pedal every night for the rest of the way. And I don't think that's a good formula. You know, if you really look at the Warriors the last few years, they've actually been artists in terms of how they have done load management, or even sort of like be really cautious with any injury, any ankle sprain, like they did with Steph 3 years ago, where they ramped him right up so that he came off rested and ready to go for the playoffs, and then off they went to win a championship. Like, they don't have that luxury. They don't have that luxury. So my concern is that Jimmy and Steph and Draymond are going to be playing so hard until the buzzer that they're going to be gassed when the playoffs get here.
It could be, and you hope that that's not the case. And you make a good point about 2022, where Steph was able to get the rest because of the ankle injury, and he came back fresh for the postseason run. And I think about the KD season, the first year when he came, they went 67-15, and a lot of those years and a lot of those games were three quarters of basketball, and you just blew people out. But then the novelty of KD kind of wore off, and the next year they went 58-24. And I remember that year, Mark, 2018-17/18, where the regular season was kind of an afterthought, and then the next year, the final year of KD, was even more so, where it didn't even matter what they did. They kind of wanted the one seed because then you had an easier road and you had home court and the rest of it, but they weren't grinding on regular season games the way that they used to. And I do think that now that they're all older, and Jimmy's here and he's older and Steph's about to be 37, they do see the value in rest as opposed to, you know, we got to get to the five. I'm sure they're thinking, as long as we stay out of the play-in game, and if we're rested and healthy, then nobody wants a piece of us.
No, and I agree with that. I wonder how they're going to play it, man. I really do. Because we're so, like, ramped up right now and tapped into every game and excited about it. Will it catch you off guard if next Tuesday they're like, oh, Steph's not playing against Milwaukee? Jimmy's not playing against Milwaukee. Especially Jimmy. Jimmy's the linchpin. I don't even know if this is true, but the way it feels right now is if Jimmy plays, they win, and if he doesn't, they don't.
Right, they've only lost simple. Once with him.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Right.
And he's missed one game, and they went and gaffed one in Philadelphia against a bad team with no good players. Crazy. So I don't want him sitting out, but I also don't want them to overly exert themselves and have nothing left come playoff time.
Yeah, and I think that they're in a spot right now, at least. Well, they don't have a cushion, but they're heading toward the ability to manage it a little bit. And, you know, part of the challenge, I do think, Mark, is that the schedule, especially coming up here in this homestand, you can't just rest guys against Denver and expect to win. You can't rest against the Lakers and expect to win. And later in the year, you do have Houston and you've got Memphis. And those are games that if you want to climb out of the six and maybe get to the five or even hold on to the six, those are games that you have to take seriously. So you don't have a lot of cupcakes left. And even if you do, you mentioned Philadelphia. Just because you play a team that you should beat doesn't mean you're going to beat them.
Like Brooklyn beat you by 22 in one quarter one time.
Right.
Yeah, that's the NBA, man. Like, surprising stuff happens or else we'd all be rich. So, you know, we look at this right now. I do. There are a lot of, I mean, I guess I wouldn't call them cupcakes.
Right.
They do still have a, they got a lot of games left against the whole you should win crowd. They definitely do. You know, they're going to play the Spurs twice.
The Pelicans.
They've got New Orleans. Sure, they do go to Phoenix. Phoenix is still capable. You know,
Game 79, is Phoenix going to be interested by April 8th?
It might be interested, you know? Because it's the Warriors. It's on
Could
TNT.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Kevin Durant will, he going to try.
Oh, he always will try,
right?
Yep.
You watch Phoenix of late. They lose a lot of games, but, man, they're like, you know, I watched that game. Did you watch that game last Friday night? I think it was. They're in Denver. And I'll freely admit it. I was all over Denver in that game. Anyway, I'm like, ooh, 7 points. Denver's gonna beat them by double digits. Couldn't shake them. Suns come back in the fourth quarter. They've actually got a lead. Denver hits a 3-pointer with a second left to go to break the tie. And you're like, ooh, they're gonna win, but they're not gonna cover. Well, here comes Kevin Durant. The savior, he nails a three, sends it to overtime, and then Denver wins by 8.
Oh, my God.
I was like, that's a win. That's
cash
a,
me out
cash
one
me
time.
Out. But, like, they were game, dude. They went to Denver, and they
cash
hung.
Cash me out one time.
They hung. So you never know. You never know. Kyle in Oakland. Hey, Kyle, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I just wanted to chime in about some of the thoughts about possible issues that the Warriors might run into, and I think it actually might be Jonathan Kuminga. I mean, he's yet to play with Jimmy Butler, so where does he fit into this lineup? And, you know, when he comes back, is he going to be hunting shots? Is he going to be looking to get playoff ready? How are they going to deal with that? You know, hopefully he's gained some knowledge sitting on the bench watching, you know, Jimmy, and even the interaction between him and Draymond, how they've played well together. You know, and kind of kept that same mindset he had before he got injured. But I think we might run into where he has to be, like he has been, coming off the bench and giving those guys rest, giving Jimmy rest, so that when we do play the Denvers and, you know, the teams where we need to play, we need to beat the Lakers, that they can go out there and do that, because those are more like playoff games, which we need to have our head space in order to, you know, really get out of the first round, you know, because I'd love to see the Warriors go to the playoffs, but I'd hate to see them lose, you know, one round and out. You know, I want to see them make a deep run finals. I'd like to believe Draymond, you know, 2022, he called it, I think, too, that they're going to win. So I'd love to see that again.
Who wouldn't, Kyle? I mean, yeah obviously. Thank you very much. I hear you. You know, Kyle brings up, first and foremost, the thought about Kuminga. And it's like you and I have sat here and talked this out a lot over the last week or so. I'm almost a little hesitant to do it because I know exactly where this goes. And I get branded as hating Jonathan Kuminga.
And I wish I knew why you hated him so much.
Oh, boy. And I just want to say this very clearly so everyone hears me. I am predicting a massive downfall for Jonathan Kuminga. I think it's going to be awful. I think when he goes into the game, it's almost going to be like he's not in basketball shoes. He's going to have blocks on his feet. I think the Warriors are going to lose if they play him, Dibs. I think they're going to lose all the games he plays in.
Mark, you out here sounding like a hater, my brother.
Right. Do we have a clean in and out for social?
Try to pause.
That was great. I was trying to do the same.
But I think there's a lot of fair stuff to bring up here,
yes.
And Steve Kerr has already brought it up. And you want to know what's wild? My number one concern is not even about the Warriors or the X's and O's. It's Jonathan. The number one concern is how to handle all of the different little mental aspects that go into his situation. Very challenging.
Incredibly challenging.
Very challenging. This guy knows damn well he's walking back into a team that in some ways he has never played for before.
Absolutely.
He is also recovering from a major injury that has its own mental hurdle. He knows damn well he does not want to upset the apple cart. He knows that there are only 17 games left. He knows that he is a restricted free agent and wants to put up the best version of himself out there. I mean, factor all of that into one return over a set of games over the next week and a half. That is a lot. That is a very tight rope to walk.
It's an incredibly tight rope. And think about the last time he played, and I'm just looking at it to refresh myself, when they took on Memphis the night he got hurt. The Warriors started Andrew Wiggins, gone. Dennis Schroeder, gone. Draymond Green, still here. TJD doesn't play. Buddy Hield got the start. Steph Curry was out. Lindy Waters played 28 minutes off the bench. Kyle Anderson played 21 minutes off the bench. And Pat Spencer played 12 minutes. Gee didn't play. Kevon didn't play. Quentin Post might have still been in the Netherlands, for crying out loud, as far as I know. But your team was Wiggins, Schroeder, TJD, Lindy, and Slo-Mo. Five of them figured prominently, and all five of them no longer play basketball for the Warriors. I know TJD's allowed to.
Yes.
But so now
did the other night.
He did a couple minutes. Yeah, a couple nice little minutes. Yeah. But now you've got a team of Jimmy, and I know he played with Steph, so this is a little bit of cherry picking. But now you've got Quentin, Moses has been elevated, and Gee's kind of taken his spot. So yeah, it's like when you go on a 10-week trip and you come back in, and you got two new roommates, and your other roommate has a new girlfriend.
Dude.
It's like, wait. The hell did you come from?
Dude,
this is my room.
I actually think before Coach comes on here in 20 minutes, we should have a Moses Moody conversation. I mean, fan base, you sat here for 2 years begging.
2 years.
And we're here, and look at it.
Mm. Look.
It's pretty good.
Really good.
It's pretty good. I want to know how that feels for everybody. Morgan.
I want to hear Steve Kerr come on and thank the fans for forcing Steve to actually play the guy.
Okay. Yeah.
See if we can get that out of Coach.
You do that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll see if it's on my sheet.
On your sheet.
It's on my list of questions.
Well, you know, they tell us what to say, so let me go to my script.
Hey, Steve, do you owe the fans a thank you for forcing you to play double M's?
Or an apology.
Probably both.
An apology.
Yep.
I was about to say, let's go to Morgan.
No, you don't.
But yeah. Morgan,
sorry, Morgan. That's on me.
No. We got time. Morgan, stay right where you are. We're going to come back to you. And also offer this, the rest of your calls that are starting to come in too, but also offer this. Tim Kawakami joined us earlier today. It was a lot of Niner talk, but he did weigh in on the Kuminga return with some really interesting stuff. We'll play that for you coming up next. Steve Kerr is coming up in 18 minutes. And remember, it's not just Steve Kerr. It's also your chance to win a $125 gift card to Great Clips. So that is all still ahead. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for Good Willard and Dibs.
Buddy Hield takes a three, short, rebound Butler. Butler back to Buddy. Buddy, pump fake, flyby, three ball, up and good. Buddy Hield, left sideline, his fifth three of the night, 97-90.
Hey, Harry, it's Buddy Hield. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7, The Game.
Well, thank you, Buddy.
Buddy, he's back. Buddy's back.
There is no wilder experience than the Buddy Hield experience.
Isn't it fun?
I mean, Buddy Hield is absolutely like your boyfriend or girlfriend in high school.
Roller coaster.
Every day you either are like, I'm in or I'm out. Oh, gosh, I'm done with this. Oh, then no, I'm in love. Oh, no, I'm done with this. And then at 5 o'clock, no, I'm in love. I mean, good Lord. Buddy Hield, you go 6 for 9 from three-point land. Yeah, we love you long time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
well, we love you until your next two-game stretch where you go 1-for-10. And I'm looking at his last five. 5-of-9, 3-of-10, 0-of-5, 1-of-5, 6-of-9. So you look at the numbers, Mark. He's shooting 39.5% from three. He's getting you 13 a night. And you look at that, and numbers are numbers, and my numbers are my numbers. And he's shooting basically 40% from three, really good. 13 a night, really good. But squeezed in there is an 0-for-5 and a 1-for-5. So the Buddy Hield experience, ladies and gentlemen.
The Buddy Hield experience.
It's a make-or-miss league, yep, and he's going to do both over the course of a game and even a week.
Yep, yep. And they were all shooting great last night. They shot over 50% from three, which, again, it's all kind of wild. They only won by 10.
I can't wait till triples for autism, because they made 67 threes.
It's coming now.
And the donation, I don't...
Not five.
Seriously.
Not seven.
Pettinelli.
You know what that is.
It's a donation sensation.
It is.
And Pettinelli,
exactly,
you're going to have to start digging deep now. Because this team can stroke it. What?
Pause.
What?
Anyway.
Pause. Little TJ Houshmandzadeh.
Yeah, we're,
pause. Yeah. He's looking for it.
No, I got it.
No,
we're
Grandy's
good.
Looking
yeah,
for
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Pause.
Thank you, TJ.
I haven't used that cut in a while.
No.
Who I think is joining us tomorrow.
I can't wait.
I think he's joining us tomorrow. Can I give you a little something real quick on TJ?
I would love it.
This is the funniest thing. TJ will do this. He's one of these people. Are you one of these people? Don't be this person. I love TJ Houshmandzadeh. He is my friend. But please, don't be one of these people. Hey, TJ, can you come on the show on, this is how it started, on Monday. And I don't get a text until Monday night. I can do tomorrow. And then we're like, oh, tomorrow now being today. Tomorrow's kind of full. Can we do Wednesday? 24 hours goes by, and then all you get is a like.
Like a thumbs up?
Thumbs up.
Okay. It's an iPhone thing,
does that mean,
right?
That you saw it, or does that mean you're agreeing to it? So then I follow right up. Okay.
Man, y'all don't know the game, man.
No, I don't.
He wants to get paid.
I'm like, TJ, awesome. Thank you. How's 3:15?
No response. No thumbs up.
But I know him enough to know that I think that means we're good to go.
That don't have nothing to do with me.
Well, we're going to find out now.
So that's not fair.
We're hoping that the thumbs up means, yes, I agree to that.
Yes.
I agree to this arrangement.
And in the past, it has. Every time I've been like, does that mean what I think of it? Yes, it does. But I do not have the full confirmation of his hour. But
you know what that would be, right?
Yes, I do. I know exactly what it would be. All right. Here's what Tim Kawakami said about how Kuminga is going to get entered back into the fray.
The signal is that they're going to slow play this. They just don't want pressure on him. They're playing so well. Like, the worst thing that could happen is you inject him back in a major 25-minute game role. He's not ready for it. It screws up a little bit of the rhythm of the chemistry. And then all of a sudden everyone's looking at him going, what the hell? Like, they don't want that. And they don't want that mostly for Kuminga. They don't want him feeling like he's kind of off speed with everything else. I think you see him, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. There are minutes available. They only played 9 last game. You could get some of those Gi Santos minutes, although kind of Curtis said, I got to play Gi Santos. I don't think you have to play Gi Santos, maybe some minutes. There's ways to get him in there. There's ways to work it in. And just, I don't think Kerr or the rest of the organization want this, like, oh my God, they won the game or lost the game because of Jonathan Kennedy's minutes.
Okay, so that's sort of the implication. They're going to ease him in. You're looking for minutes. There are minutes. We're going to have this conversation with Steve coming up in just a few. Tim also said that he is bullish on this idea of Kuminga and Butler playing together.
He's got a lot of things going on. He's got the contract obviously coming up in the summertime. He's been watching this happen. He's been out for a long time. But he could really fit this. It would be really interesting to see he and Jimmy Butler together, the two guys just ramrodding their way to the basket, getting fouls and getting the other team in foul trouble and creating space. I don't know that that's going to be the same as they do right away, but I'm sure curious to see it, because you could see a career path for Kuminga that's very similar to Jimmy Butler. I don't know that he'll ever be as good as Butler, but he could be. In a similar style. He just simplifies his game. Doesn't expect too much from every play.
Okay, so obviously this will be a portion of the conversation we have with Steve Kerr coming up here in about 7 minutes.
I like that comp. I mean, we've all done our Kuminga comps, and you think about Jimmy Butler listed at 6'7", 230, grown man strength. Kuminga, 6'8", 210, but fashion your game after Jimmy Butler. And we talked about Jimmy Butler's three ball, and he's made five of them since he's been a Warrior over 12 or 13 games. It's just not what he does. And Kuminga, I think, is, he doesn't look to shoot the three, but this offense presents you with more opportunities. But Kuminga can get to the foul line. That's what Jimmy does. Kuminga is a physical presence. That's what Jimmy is. So could he fashion his game after Jimmy Butler? Can you imagine if Kuminga,
I mean, hope so.
Kuminga comes in now and plays, and Jimmy just, come under my wing, young buck, and let me show you how I've been able to get to where I am.
Again, for me, it's all wrapped into one phrase, decision-making.
Yep.
That's what Jimmy is great at, and that's what I think the Warriors have wanted Jonathan to improve for a number of years. Nobody's mad at Jonathan's athleticism. You know, I think there were effort issues years ago, but not this year. I think all of those things are on a really, really good track. But he's still young, and the Warriors system is kind of complex, and they want really good decisions. And that's what Jimmy is doing great. And so if Jonathan can gather some of that, awesome. That would be fantastic, and I think would really take him to another level. Let's go to Morgan in Morgan Hill. Hi, Morgan. What are you doing?
Hi, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Before I make my comment, I just wanted to say, not only do you guys have great chemistry, but I think you guys have the best pair of vocal cords in Bay Area sports right now.
It's raspy on raspy crime, Morgan, is what it is.
I think it works.
Yeah.
It works really well. Yeah, well, anyway.
Hey, go ahead, Morgan.
You guys were asking about what makes us nervous still about the Warriors, and I think your guys' intro, I don't know if your guys' intro to the segment was a coincidence, but I think, you know, everybody, it's pretty safe to, or it's reasonable to assume we're a playoff team now, but I think how far we go into the playoffs is going to be dependent on, and it makes me really nervous to say, Buddy Hield. You know, the vicissitudes of Buddy Hield. And, you know, it had me thinking as I'm driving in my car right now, maybe you guys can help me out. Has Buddy Hield been on a playoff team yet? And has he gotten minutes in the playoffs? And how has he done?
Ooh.
I don't even know the answer to that question.
That's a good question. I think that Buddy Hield, and this is a basketball reference thing, I want to say we looked at this once before.
We did. He has played a grand total of he's played four playoff games.
Okay.
And he's played about 45 minutes worth of playoff basketball.
Okay. Yeah, playoff series. It was against
New York with Philadelphia.
With Philadelphia. Yeah, so this was just in the 23-24 season. This
His
was
debut.
Just last year.
Yep.
Yeah. So there you go. He averaged 5.5 points a game in a total of four games.
Right.
So there you go.
Including a couple of DNPs.
And they lost the series. They lost the series 4-2. Morgan, thank you. So that's it. That's Buddy Hield's playoff experience. Yeah, what did you say it was? About 50 minutes or so? A little bit more?
Roughly. He played 21 and a half minutes in the finale. And of the games, the four games he played, they were 1-3 in those games. And the one game that they won, he only played 4 minutes.
Well,
so it feels a little bit like might have been Garbach Hield.
Maybe,
time.
But if you want to get excited about a small sample, shooting 46% from three.
Yeah, there you go.
In the playoffs. For his career.
Well, in typical Buddy fashion, 0-1, 0-2, 0-1. And then 6-9.
6-9.
In the game that they lost.
Perfect.
So.
Perfect.
The Buddy Hield experience.
Numbers matter.
Yep.
DJ in San Jose. Hi, DJ. What's up?
Hey, I was just calling because you guys were talking about, you know, the longevity of the older players and just that depending or kind of planning out over the rest of the season. But just like in last game, I feel like the youngsters have stepped up a lot since Jimmy Butler came to the team. Seems like they're also playing at a higher level. And I feel like that should allow some of the older players to get some R&R during games.
During games. That's interesting. DJ, appreciate it. I don't know. I don't know. I'd almost have to ask a player that. Like, if you, on a given night, you play 25 minutes instead of 32 minutes, does that do anything for you in the long run? I don't know. I mean, the whole ramp up, what a player goes through to play, here's what I'm confident in. We don't give him enough credit
right, for
what physically goes into airplane, back-to-back, airplane, short night sleep, all of that, and then the ramp up and the treatment and the warm-up and then the game and then the aftermath, all of that. Like, I don't know if that helps him much. But it's 7 points. Yeah, I wonder. I don't know.
That's a good question for Steve, as we're joined by Steve Kerr here in mere moments. Because you're right. When you see a player walk into the tunnel, and now that's become a thing we see on social media, and you get in there and you get dressed and you go to the training room and you get taped up and you get all the treatment you need, and then you go and get your warm-up and you go out on the court and you go through your warm-up, and Steph Curry's warm-up is now an actual show. Yep. So he can't just like dribble around and fart around. He's got to actually perform, and then you go back in and you look at tape and you have meetings and you go back out for a warm-up, then you go back in, then you go back out, and there's introductions, and now you got
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.